I have a devotion from the book of Joshua. Specifically, when I came to chapter 3, the God put in my heart, I'd like to prepare a message, and then if I have any time, preaching from this chapter. And then, praise the Lord, God provide for me this week. I'm preaching Joshua chapter 3. And I believe this message is working for someone today. I don't know who, but working for you, this message. Let's open it with a prayer. Our Father God, thank you, Lord, first of all, Lord, for your goodness and gracious, Lord. Thank you, Lord, King of Kings, living God, our Father. Thank you, Lord, for we have you, Lord, and you have us as well, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the grace gift, Lord, give it to us. We can know you. We know you, who you are, God. You are not like a dead God or unknown God for other religion. You are living God for us. Hallelujah. And the Lord God, please, Jesus, be with us today. Specifically, please, Lord, be with me. Give me a word. Give me wisdom, Lord, and use me for your glory. And I pray you for today. Amen. I need to turn on this one.
1, 2, 3. Working? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Right, Joshua chapter 3. Actually, the one of the most exciting and yet challenging moments in the history of the people of Israel. After 40 years of wintering in the wilderness, they were finally standing on the threshold of entering the promised land. However, between them and God's promises stood the overflowing Jordan River. From the human perspective, crossing it seems impossible. Yet God wants to teach his people that the victory is not achieved through human strength, but through faith and obedience to him. Today, many believers also stand before the Jordans of their lives, problems, fears, worries, or responsibilities that seems impossible to overcome. But the same God who brought the people of Israel into the promised land is still able today to bring you and me through every obstacle and to lead us into the promises. Amen? But the great question for today, how? How God brought Israel to the promised land? We want to look at this question. In verse 1 to 4 says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove, and they came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and the lodge together before they cross over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camps. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall sit out from your place. And they go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, approximately 1 kilometer. 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, then you may know that the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Have attention to last verses. For you have not passed this way before. It's a new way for you are, for passing from the river Jordan. Joshua instructs the people to follow the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark symbolizes God's presence, glory, and guidance among his people. God did not tell the Israelites to choose their own path. In a sense, they were to follow the Ark, which represented his presence. My friends, first step for passing the rivers in your lives is following the presence of God. Simple, amen? But what's the meaning of following the presence of God? The same principles apply to believers today. We cannot successfully navigate life challenging by relying solely on our own wisdom, experience, or plans. If we are to cross the Jordan in our lives, we must follow the Lord's leading and walk in His presence. Many spiritual failures occur when we move ahead of God or fell behind it. That's a key point. You must follow the presence of God. We must follow exactly which is the God says. When the priest wants to carry the tabernacle, and the Joshua says, you have to be spaced around the 1 kilometer between you and the tabernacle. Why? Maybe because the people see where the tabernacle going, and the other one, the people must know, keep the measurement between them and God. Exactly, people know how much they need or how they need to follow God. Not to be rushed or not to be lazy. Many Christians today, we rush. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to be a preacher. We rush, maybe in the first year of the ministry. We rush in the first year after Christianity, but after 2 years, after 3 years, fell it down. Why? Because it was rushed. Or other side, many Christians be lazy. They believe Jesus Christ as a Savior. Maybe for first month, second month, or maybe first year come to the church. But after 1 year, they not come to the church. They not join to the Bible study. They don't want to do it for the ministry for the Lord. And after 2 years or few years, you see, again, they're falling down. We should not rush ahead in our obedience, nor should we become careless and neglect it to get altogether. Following the presence of God requires patience and submission to His will. In sense of being impulsive, we must learn to practice patience and faithful obedience. It is true that the time throughout mistakes and sins we distance ourselves from God's presence, yet He never hides His presence from us. Rather, He encourages us to repent and once again find a strength and refreshment in His presence. Actually, I love these verses in John 10, verse 27. Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you follow Him? Are you follow Him in patience? Are you follow Him in obedience? That's a key point for us. So my brothers and my sister, before making any important decision, ask yourselves, is God leading me in this direction? Does this path agree with the Word of God? Am I moving forward in prayer and fellowship with God? They are good questions. Ask yourselves before making any decisions. Amen? So, come to the second point. How Israelites passed from the river Jordan. Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The people were instructed to keep a distance from the Ark of the Covenant, about the 2,000 cubes, or roughly 1 kilometer. This distance demonstrates reverence from the holiness of God, also allowed everyone to clear see the children, the direction in which the ark was moving. However, before the people could witness God's miracles, the first had to sanctify themselves. They need to prepare themselves for encounter with the Lord and for entering the promised land. Exactly, my brothers and my sisters, same principle apply today for us. Thank God that through the precious blood of Jesus Christ we have been cleansed and washed from our sins, yet there may still be sins, attitudes, or area of disobedience in our lives that hindering us from experience God's power and blessing as fully as He had desires. That's a big point. That's a big point. Why we can see the miracles of God in our lives? Why? Maybe sometimes it's good back to ourselves. People want the miracles of God, but the people, they don't want to sanctify self for God. That's the point. We have to sanctify self. We see God said to the Joshua and Joshua to the people, sanctify yourself. Why? Because God wants showing miracles tomorrow for you. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. If you want to see the miracles of God, prepare your heart for Him. We must remember that God first prepares hearts and then reveals His power. Amen? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our righteousness. Not to some, to all. I love these verses in Hebrews. Let me see here. Yeah. Hebrews 12 verse 14. Very good verses. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, peace with all people and holiness. And what's the other verses? Without which no one will see the Lord. Amen? Very easy. If you want to see the Lord, 2 points, two key words here. Peace and holiness. Therefore, dear friends, before seeking a change in our circumstance or asking God for a miracle, we should first examine and consecrate our heart before Him. Our eyes must be fixed on God's presence and guidance through His Word, not on the size of our problems. No matter how great the obstacle may seem, our God is greater. Our God is greater. So, I went back to the question, how Israelites passed the River Jordan? By what? Faith. Faith takes the first step before the miracles occur. Verse 13 says, and it shall came to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the water of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that came down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap. That's very important things. If you look at to the Exodus, you see before the Israelites, actually they passed the Red Sea, Moses first dried the Red Sea for Israelite. The Red Sea getting divide and dry, the land getting dried, and Israelite passed. But here his case is different. When the water get dry, when the priest going to the water, and then the water getting dry. God did not part the water before the priest stopped into the water. For the Jordan to open, the priest first had to respond in faith and obedience. Without seeing any visible change in the river, they stepped into the overflowing waters. Then after their act of obedience, God stops the flow of the river and made a way for His people. My brothers and my sisters, true faith means trusting God's promises, even when circumstance seems to see the opposite. This is the lesson for us for today. That's the heart, that's the lesson. First, obedience, then the miracles. You want to see the miracles of God in your life? Are you interested for God's miracles? Okay, first obedience. Righteous shall live by faith. Read in Hebrews 11. You see all the heroes in Hebrews 11 received the miracles by faith. They never see the consequences. They just follow what God says. God said to Abraham, Abraham, kill your son. Sacrifice your son for me. Abraham never said, why? What's happening? They do that. But when they put a knife and they want to kill the son, God said, stop. And God provided that for him. And how the Israelites conquered Jericho? How? Jericho, it was very hard places for the conquering. Maybe, I think they need to have an air force for the conquering the Jericho. But at that time, they doesn't have an air force, unfortunately. They have a bow and something like that. But how they are conquered Jericho? Only by walking around the city. Only by follow, which is the God said to them. By obedience. And God bring the wall down and give the city to Israelite. I'm just imagine for myself, if I had been one of those priests, I might have waiting for the waters to part before taking a step. Yet God asked them to move first. Real faith is trusting God's promises, even we cannot yet see the outcome. Remember, the waters of the Jordan did not part before the priests stopped it, for the way opened only after the behind it. God's miracles often been where our obedience starts. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. But I know it's very understandable because I'm a part of this world as well. We live in the liberal world, praise God for the liberalism. And we live in the world, everything we once exist, praise God for that. But the danger is this situation is stolen our eyes. This situation is stolen our trust, our faith. The world tries to stole our trust, our faith. We have to trust God. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Very often the miracles is revealed only after the steps of faith is taken. Faith does not wait for visible evidence before obeying. Faith trusts God act upon His word and then watch Him to be what only He can do. The Jordan did not open because of the priest's strange wisdom or ability. It opened because they trust God enough to obey Him. The same God is still working in the life of His people today. When we step forth in faith and obedience, He is able to make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? So, keep going. How the Israelites crossed the Jordan? Verse 15 to 16. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflowed all its bank during the whole time of the harvest. That the water which came down from the upstream stood still and rose in the heap the very far away at Adam, the city that is beside the Zertan, if I say correct. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arab, the salt sea, the field were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The Jordan River was at the flood stage. From human perspective, crossing it was impossible. Yet the same God who parted the Red Sea of Moses also opened the Jordan River for Joshua. The moment the soles of the priest's feet touched the water following from the upstream stopped. God made completely dry path through what had seemed to be impossible barrier. That's the key point here. The priest stood in the midst of the city rivers, the riverbed, carrying the Ark of the Covenant until the entire nations had crossed safely. The presence of the Ark in the midst of the river was a guarantee of God's protection and security for His people. That's why the priests, they all carry the Ark of Covenant, they stood in the river until the nation passed. This is a picture of God's guarantee and security for His people. And today, we have something far greater than the Ark of the Covenant. Is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Amen? He has not merely a symbol of God's presence. He is the full revelation of God's presence among us. He stands in the midst of the storm of life, make a way where there seems to be no way. And safety leads us through the ranger rivers of the fear, trial, difficulties, and uncertainty. Just as an ark guarantees Israel's safety, the presence of Christ guarantees our security and salvation. He is able to dry up the impossible river in our lives, remove every obstacle, and guide us safely until we reach the promised land, the eternal presence of God. You have to believe Him. You have to believe Him. Bible says, for God so loved the world, and He gave His only begotten Son. So loved the world, and He gave His only begotten Son. Israelite, only they have something, it shows the presence of God. It was the Ark of Covenant, and in the Ark of Covenant was the Ten Commandments, and there was, the esteem of the Aaron. That's it. But we have Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah! The living God, the still the living God, be with us. He's able to dry up every flowing river in our lives. I love these verses in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. I love these verses. The Bible says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is able to separate you from the love of God. When you're blind to Jesus, when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord, when you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, nothing is able to take you in the hand of Jesus Christ. Nothing is able to take you out from the hand of the Father. But the question is, am I blind to Him? Ask yourself, my brothers and my sister. No one was left behind. Every member of the nation crossed the Jordan and entered the promised land. Why? Because no obstacle is too great for God. Perhaps today you are facing a family problem. You are struggling with blindness. You are discouraged in your ministry or in your daily life. You are standing before a challenging that seems impossible to overcome. Remember this. God is still able to make a way where there is no way. God who opened the Jordan is still open paths for His people today. Nothing is impossible for God. Amen? He is a God. And the last point for today, in verse 17. What the verse 17 says. Read together what the verse 17 says. And all Israel, all, not some, not part, not half, not only children, not only innocent people, not only saints, not only priests, all Israel, because of the grace of God. All Israel cross off the land because of the work of God. And the same God working today for us. All the people cast cross over the river because of the great bridge is Jesus Christ for us. He is a great bridge for us. The bridge we needed to reach in heaven. Jesus says in John 14 verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one came to the Father except through me. No one can reach heaven except through Jesus Christ. Because there is no other name is given to us shall be saved. Only the name of Jesus Christ. Actually, I remember last Sunday with Carl and Brother Job, we have a conversation with one guy. He was sick. He was a very good man, actually. Not a Sikh, Sikh religion. He was a very good man, very calm, very, actually, to listen in too much. But the problem here, he confused, very confused. Doesn't matter how much.